We give the thanks and we give the praise to the one who made all of us as Muslims. Because we can't do that for ourselves, but rather this is something that we have to be thankful to Allah, because He has chosen to give us the hidayah, the guidance of al-Islam. And alhamdulillah. Along with this guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come two things right away. And the first is nama. Nama means in the Arabic language a favor or a wonderful gift, a nice thing, something that you can't measure. And the second is amana. The words sound a little bit similar, don't they? Amana means a trust, something that you've been left in charge of and you're responsible for. So we realize that the big gift that Allah gave us is the understanding that there is a law. Many people don't have that. And that's fact. Many people think there's nothing. Others think that God is a rock or a stick or a stone or something in His creation. But the few, and there are only a few, that Allah wakes up their hearts with the message of Islam, have this nana. But then with it comes the amana, and the amana is to share with the others. Allah said in the Quran, La ikraha fi deen, there is no compulsion in the deen or the way of al-Islam. So we can't force anybody to go to Islam. There never was such a thing as forced conversion in Islam, because if it was forced, then it wasn't real, therefore it wasn't Islam. Because as we've said in previous programs, and most of you heard me say it many times, Islam is not a noun, it is a verb. It doesn't come as a noun, it comes as an action, it's what you do. And alhamdulillah, that's what we're trying to do here tonight. We're broadcasting live, we're here in my home, which is very rare for me. In fact, I don't think I can remember the last time I broadcast actually out of my house. So, because I'm always traveling. But I'm not without an audience tonight. Alhamdulillah, we actually kidnapped some of the brothers from the masjid. By the way, we are Muslims and we do kidnappings. Everybody knows that. So alhamdulillah. And hijacked. We hijacked everybody and brought them over. Alhamdulillah. So this is a chance for us to be together in a time when I really need my brothers with me. Alhamdulillah, as most of you know, my father passed away while I was down in Alabama on Friday night. He passed away. Saturday morning, we canceled everything and I got on a plane and came over here. And we took care of the business of the gravesite and everything with the cemetery, washed the body yesterday, and we were able to take him to the cemetery today and inter him and bury him there today, alhamdulillah. And it was a very large crowd. We were very, very happy, you know, to see so many people come out. There were so many cars. I know Christians measure the success of a funeral by how many cars show up, so I'm sure they were impressed by the number of cars that came, but they'd be more impressed if they realized that they were all full. Those weren't just like one person driving. Alhamdulillah. Again, it doesn't matter, except that it's a good sign, as the Prophet was mentioning to us, about having many people coming for your funeral. So alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to accept from my father. He made his shahada in somewhere around 1991-1992, and alhamdulillah, that was a very good thing. As most of you know also, my father was an ordained minister. He did preach Christianity. He didn't have a church, but he used to preach freelance, and he used to work in the churches and in the Sunday school departments, and alhamdulillah, many people became better Christians because of his work, and now I feel like some were also became better Muslims because of efforts that he made. And certainly he taught me a lot, especially in communication, about how to deliver messages. And that was a gift that Anama and Amana that he gave to me. And so before I left his gravesite today, I was sure to say a few words. Even though I really didn't want to, I realized that I had a responsibility in front of my father to stand and say what he would want me to say. And so I did, alhamdulillah. And I tried to keep from crying while I was talking, but I really felt touched by the whole theme of the thing, and it was very, very special to me. Tonight, alhamdulillah, we just came from our masjid at Dar al-Hijra, and there was another person who had just died. I think his name was also Yusuf, the boy's name, right? And his father just died. So we went in there, and in a small room they had a gathering, and we gave a little talk over there. And so what I'd like to do is mention some of the things that I said tonight in reference to both of our fathers and responsibility to us. I began by mentioning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Haq. And Haq in the Arabic language can translate to English because it's a very strong word. It happens also to be one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it means in English the absolute epitome of truth, all truth. But it also means right, because we have to give rights to people, their haq. What is a person's haq? His right. And I mentioned that Islam is about haq. It's haq as in truth, but it's also about rights. And one of the first things that the Prophet ﷺ taught us is the rights that Allah has over us. And he says that, the Prophet ﷺ, peace be upon him, said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has haq on his abdi, on his servant. And what is that? It is the right not to be have any partners in worship. He has the right to be worshipped alone without any partners. And then he said, do you know what is the right of the servant of Allah? If they give Allah his right. In other words, if a person only worships Allah alone without any partners, do you know what his right is on Allah? That's pretty nice. Now you something think I have a right on Allah? Yes. What is it? It is not to be punished. You have the right, Allah, don't punish me. Why? I never make partners with you in worship. And it comes to mind a story that I didn't mention, but I'll mention it now. And the story is about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He told us that there would be a man, and what happened was, in his whole life he made so many sins, so much masiyah, big sins, a lot of bad stuff that he did. But then when he was getting ready to die, he realized the gravity of his situation. He realized what he had done, and he didn't want to see Allah on the Day of Judgment because he felt like, I can't stand for Allah to look at me, and I know how rotten I am. You know what mistakes I made? I want you to share this story with the Christians, by the way. They need to know about, we know about salvation. Because this man is knowing how bad he is. But in front of Allah, he didn't want to stand, and he didn't want to face Allah with these sins. So he ordered his sons, when I die, I want you to burn me up. Now, we can't do that on the farm. You can't do that. That's a bad sign. It's haram to burn a body up. He said, I want you to burn me up and then take the ashes and scatter the ashes to the four winds. In other words, scatter them. Why? He said, I don't want Allah to find me, put me back together. Now, that's another thing in Islam. We don't accept that, do we? We know Allah can assemble you from wherever you are. Isn't that true? Doesn't matter if you burn up or not. But he wanted his sons to do that, and they did it. When he died, they burned him, alhamdulillah. And then they scattered his ashes, alhamdulillah. But of course, on the Day of Judgment, Allah brought him back together, didn't he? Brought him all back together from these ashes, stood him up in front of him, and then the question is asked, why did you do that? He said, because I made so many sins that I just could not face you with what I had done. He was so ashamed, aib in the Arabic language, he was ashamed of what he had done. And then, look what Allah said. Bear witness. Let's forget. Allah said, I forgive you. Why? Because the man was sincere. He was so sincere in his heart, in his repentance, that Allah forgave him. And look, he made some serious mistakes. Burn me up, thinking Allah can't put him back together. That's a question of aqidah. And yet Allah forgave him. Hello? Because why? Allah Ghafoor Rahim. This is a much bigger thing than we can imagine. This is way beyond human comprehension. This is something amazing that Allah forgives like He forgives. SubhanAllah wa alhamdulillah. This is part of the haq of Islam. I mentioned also that our deen is haq, our way of life is haq, truth, absolute. The Quran is al-haq, without doubt. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prophethood of all the prophets, especially with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is haq, truth. Then I continued by mentioning to the brother whose father passed away, and to myself, and to all of those that were gathered there, that this is something that it's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the time we're born to the time we die, it's a test to see if we'll worship Allah or something He's created. He told us in the Quran, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim." Well, my colors begin with him. Illiliyah begin. I only created you guys to worship me alone. And the question now immediately comes, and did you do it? And did you do it? Or did you worship something else? Your own vain desires. Did you think you created yourself? Did you think you created what you do? Allah said, I created you and what you do. That means he got the full control, yes or no? Absolutely, from the beginning to the end. So then I mentioned also the story that about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he took all of us from the backbone of Adam, all the souls he pulled out of the backbone of Adam, assembled all of us in front of him, and then he asked us, am I not your Lord? And we all said yes. Yes. SubhanAllah. And then he erased that from our minds. He took that away. Just like you erase a cassette tape before you record over it or something. You know, you put a magnet, a heavy magnet over a cassette tape, you wipe it out, don't you? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wipes it from our minds. Not a soul remembers it. If anybody tells you he remembers that meeting with his Lord, he's a liar, don't buy a car from him, because it's no good. Serious. That's a heart attack. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us back and erased that from us, we got our name. The people before us were called jinn. Jinn. And it means that they're from a place that you can't see. It's related to the word jannah and jahannam. And they're referring to the ghaib, something you cannot see. But he called us insan or in. Inno insana lafi khus. Yes? Insan. Minno jinati wan nas. Nas, another form of the word insan. And also another word, nasiya. Ana nasiya. I forgot. The one who was created to forget. We forgot that we've already been there. We don't remember that. It was there, but we don't remember it. And that's why Allah tells us in the Quran, look what he tells us. Remind them that the reminding may benefit them. Does he tell us teach them? He uses the term remind. From the word dhikr, adhkar, remind them. Encourage them and remind them. Is it what he said? Think. We're all being reminded of what? Of the fact that you're going to be brought back again. Right in front of Allah, and you're going to be asked. Am I not your Lord? In fact, there are three questions that come in the grave. Remember that? Person dies, the angel of death comes. Imagine this. I'll give the scenario of it. I have to stand to do this part so you get the image of this. But a person is in a room, like we're here in this room now. How many are we here now? Half a dozen? No, more than that. Maybe a dozen people sitting here together. Suddenly, somebody enters the room, and you turn and you look at this person entering the room. How's it going? You know, who is this? And you notice that nobody else is noticing this person coming in the room, and they look strange to you. You say, who is this? And he's coming right to you. You're saying, hey guys, don't you see? And suddenly you realize, hey, my body's not turning anymore. I'm not moving anymore. What's happening to me? And the one is just coming to you. Nobody sees him but you. Who is it? And you know who it is. The angel of death who's entered the room. And he's coming for you. And when he takes the root, the soul, out of the body, everything is going to depend on how you live to that point. Does it hurt? Are you in pain? Or is it just like a pinprick, as the Prophet ﷺ said, for the believer? It hurts, but no more than like you put a pin in something and pull it out. Pinprick. But in the case of the one who is really evil, his soul will be ripped out, like turning somebody inside out. Now think, from that point forward, it will be known to you what's going to happen. But you'll feel it. Think. When a person dies, then they're taken to the grave. When we talk about going to the grave, this is very crucial, because a lot of people don't realize that you're still, that's still a person. Some religions teach that, okay, he's dead, the body is nothing, the soul is with God, that's what they teach. But we know better. We know the person is still having the soul attached somewhere to it, and be careful with the body, we treat it good. We treat the body good, even though it disintegrates, we still have respect for where the body was. And what's this? The story was mentioned about, and I like this story because it helps us to understand. There's a man, he's dying, an old man. When the three sons come, this is just a story, the three sons come to him, and he calls the first son to him, and he said, "My son, I'm dying. What will you do for me?" He said, "My dad, I'm with you right up to the moment of death. But the minute you die, I'm away from you. I'm free from you and away from you." "Whoa!" Step back. Next son comes forward. He calls him up. He said, "My son, I'm dying. What will you do for me?" "My father," he said, "I'll stay with you until you die, and then I'll stay with you until you go to the grave, and then to the cemetery, and down into the hole, and they bury you, and I'll stay until then. And then I'll leave you. I'm going to walk away." "Oh." Step aside. And he brings the next one up, and he said, "My son, I'm dying. What will you do for me?" He said, "My father, I'm with you until you die. I'm with you after you die. I'm with you to the grave, I'm with you in the grave, and I'm with you until the Yom Kiyama, until the day of judgment." And then the explanation comes. The first son is who? The first son is your money, your wealth, your mouth. That's your first son. Because think about it, no matter how much money you have, how much power you got, even the keys to your car in your pocket right now, when you die, you can't protect those keys, can you? So maybe you just reach over and take those right out of your hand. You don't have a grasp anymore. You can't stop. You're stuck. Is that right? Because you're dead. You can see them. You see, I know this guy's robbing me. You can't do anything about it. Everything you own is gone the minute you die. Well, we have to go to the grave. What is that? That is your relative. That is your real friend. The people who wash your body and prepare you, take you to the grave and put you down into the ground and cover you up. But they still have to leave you, don't they? And that's the last thing you're going to hear is those footsteps. The Rasulullah Swami told us, the last thing you hear is those footsteps walking away, like we walked away from my father today. Who is the one who will stay with him until the day of judgment? Who will be with him until the day of judgment? Who is the son? His amal, his deeds. Because if your deeds are with you, then you have company. But the problem is it good company or is it bad company? Because if the deeds are good, it's good company. If the deeds are bad, the sheikh was telling us at Graveside today, it's a very horrible, ugly thing to be with you until the day of judgment. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. I'm going to give this little bit of what we call station identification. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live, L-I-V-E, live. Not almost live, like most of our programs. We're broadcasting live tonight. It's Sunday night. And our program usually broadcasts at 6 on Saturday and 7 on Sunday. I ask Allah, forgive me for last night. I couldn't do it. I tried, but I couldn't do it. Alhamdulillah. That's how Allah guided me to be here tonight to do this program. And if you'd like to visit us on the internet for this and other programs, go to islamtomorrow.com, islamtomorrow.com. Our website's open 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free parking. And to return back now to what we were talking about in our program, and that's to mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us here with a trust, an amana, and their trust is to share this message of Islam. And what's a better time to talk about Islam than at a time of doubt? Because Islam is about two things, living and dying. How were you in the life? How did you live it? And then how did you die? And what did Allah say about dying in the Quran? Don't die, except as a Muslim. Don't die, except as a Muslim. Actually, the way it said is, don't die except in a state of aslam. Don't die except to be in that verb, in that action. Don't die except you're doing that. Doing what, man? What does Islam mean? You always like to break it down. Do that in your dawah. Always break it down. Even for Muslims, break it down. Break it down. Five. It's five. Five things. Islam means, it doesn't mean peace. Peace? No. It's peace, but not till you do this. First, you have to totally and completely surrender. That's number one. I got my hands in the air just like somebody's holding a gun on me, right? That's the first part of the verb. Give up! Second, surrender and submit now. Submit. Do the submission. Then obey. Totally and completely. Allah give you a commandment. Well, I don't see why we have to wear hijab now. I mean, that was 1,400 years ago. Well, I don't really think riba is haram to you. I mean, you know, what's usury? What's the difference between usury and interest? Now, usury is probably a real high rate of interest. I'm only paying 6% of my loan, and I mean, it's like, what are you doing? Well, back then, you know, they didn't have refrigerators for pork, and nowadays, you know, alhamdulillah, they... What, you can't obey? You didn't get the picture? Hello, let's do it real slow for the people that just walked in the door, okay? The first man, Adam, was not tested with riba. Was he? Was he? Khanzir. Was he? Or even with jihad. He wasn't tested with anything like that. He just had one simple command. What was it? Don't eat fruit off that tree. And it is not representing something bigger. It's not a parable. It's not something that you need to think of in terms of, well, maybe that meant don't have sex, like the Christian said. If he meant sex, Allah would have said sex. He didn't say that. He told Adam and he told Hawa, his wife, Eve, don't eat off of this one tree. You can have anything else you want. Don't eat from the tree. Why? Because it was a what? A what? Test. Thank you very much. And he said, it's a test. In the Quran, he told you about Ibtala. Test. Did he give us a test? There's two kinds. He mentioned Surah Al-Fajr, right? He mentioned that whenever he gives the test of will and position and authority, the man stands up and he said, oh, my Lord, he honors me. Look at me. But when he tests him by straightening his knees, by pulling back on some of the things when he's doing, he takes away the wealth, the power, the authority, pushing down. Oh, I'm missing. Oh, my God, he hates me. Is that what he said? Maybe not with that kind of dramatic, but I'm trying to get a point across. What do? When we got something, we get arrogant. When we don't have anything, he hates me. Yes. He said, well, my collective jinn will end. Every other doing. I only created you to worship me alone without any partners. Can you do that? Can you do that? That's our test. So obey the commands. That's the third point. The fourth point, I'm not going to stick on each point, but the fourth point is something amazing. It's called sincerity. You do it for Allah. You don't do it to show off. You don't do it to go out here and say, hey man, my imamah is bigger than your imamah. My turban is bigger than yours. My beard is bigger than yours. Hey, my miswak is bigger than yours. It sounds like you've got some kind of a, you know, an image problem, baby. You got a serious thing. You run around with a yardstick measure and everything. You know what I'm saying? Beard is not long enough. Miswak, too long. What? Imamah is not big enough. Pants are too long. Have we got some of these kind of problems? Allah. But when you do it for Allah and you're sincere in it, then it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. Because you're all going to have some kind of deficiency in their life, and that's not the perfection that we're seeking. The perfection we're seeking is to perfect the intention. In the ma'amal of niyyah, Allah said this, Umar radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet said this, that all of us are going to have our amal, our deeds judged by what? Intention. And if it weren't for that, where would we all be? At least we can have that, can't we? Sincere intention. And I ask Allah all the time, give me sincere intention and guide me. These two things, you know how many times a day I ask Allah for that? Not just in the prayer, but all the time. When in sajda I'm asking for this thing. In my du'as I'm asking for this thing. Because wallahi, what good is my da'wah? What good is it for me to travel around the world talking about Islam? And I don't have the sincerity. If I lose the sincerity, if I start thinking, hey, here's Yusuf, all right, hey, wow, we get over 100,000 CDs in Michigan, which we did, I did that. We got millions of people listening to us in Pakistan, in India, and in London, I did that, and they are, I did that. And the minute that goes to my head, guess what? I'm screwed. The service. And I wasted because I didn't do it for Allah. So this is very serious, all of us. To work on the niyyah, to work on the intention. We have to keep the intention pure for Allah. That's the fourth point. And the fifth one, as-salam, peace. And that peace is meaning you get it because you have peace between you and Allah. It's not talking about peace in the Middle East, although we'd like to have that. It's not talking about peace on earth, goodwill for men, although we'd like to have that. But it's talking about the peace that has to come first before you can have all the peace on earth or in the Middle East. And we have to be right with Allah. And we can't be right with Allah until and unless we reach the point of this sincerity of giving our surrender and submission and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of these people, ameen. And may He cause us to be on the Surat al-Rashidin, ameen. If you listen to Islam tomorrow, we're broadcasting live, all the way from Falls Church, Virginia, in Skyline Square. We're up high in the building. And by the way, Muslims like to get high. We do. We like to get really high. In our salat, we can get very high. Well, I don't know what's natural high. I didn't know there was an unnatural high. How would I know that kind of stuff? I didn't go to college. I'm just joking. But I know who my audience is, okay? I don't pretend I don't know who I'm talking to. And what I'm saying is that, alhamdulillah, that Allah, He let us have a chance to be Muslim. And what does Muslim mean? By the way, sometimes we forget the mention. Let's translate it so they can understand. In the English language, when you have a verb, because remember, it's not a verb. When you have a verb, what do you do to it? You put er after it. Er, and that's cool. Anybody does the thing, you put er after it. Er, right? Walk, walk, er. Talk, talk, er. Think, think, er. Think, think, er. And, oh, I'm sorry, I get carried away. Anyway, so you take the verb and you put the er after it and you have the one performing the verb. Now, if you take Islam and you put er after it, Islamer, you have the exact meaning, except that's not Arabic anymore, is it? It's like Islam ik. There's no Islam ik, no Islam er. Because in Arabic, you put the letter meme of and it has a moon sound before it. And that's the one who performs, and it becomes a prefix instead of a suffix. Got it? Let's try some Arabic words. Ready? Traveler. Person travels. Travel is suffer. He's a traveler, so he's a sufferer. No, you don't put her after it. Although I do suffer when I travel sometimes. You put mu in front of it. Mu suffer. Mu suffer. You stand already heard these jokes. That's okay. Go to sleep. Don't do that. So, mu suffer. Now, what if somebody... What if somebody prays, salli, musalli, right? Does it make sense? You got another verb? What's another verb? You put mu in front of it. You don't know any Arabic? Okay, person makes the adhan. He's a adhaner. No, that's English. Mu, adhan, muadhan. Got it? Do this with the people. Help them to see what Arabic, how beautiful it is, and get the idea that when somebody Islams, when somebody submits to Allah, when they give up everything and say, okay, God, I give up. If you're there guiding, that's exactly the words that I said. And I'm supposed to be preaching. I'm supposed to be preaching. Going around with my Bible telling people about God. And yet when I make the prayer, I heard myself say, if. If? What does that mean? Mean doubt? There's no room for doubt in this man. Is there? You can't doubt Allah, but I did. I said, if you're there guiding, and subhanAllah, that's exactly what He did. He guided me from that point in July. The 15th, 1991, until today, alhamdulillah, I understood there is Allah. Now, whether or not Allah is accepting from me, that is up to Allah. I hope so. All of us hope so. Alhamdulillah. But that's the point. We have to tell them what is a Muslim. One who submits to God. For the Christian, this is one breed of cat you got to talk to one way. For a Hindu, it's another breed. You got to talk to him another way. For a Jewish, it's another way. You don't have to sell the Jew. Can you just go into a Jew? You know, Jesus went on the cross in Brooklyn. I don't even believe in Jesus. Hello? So this is not what you're going to say to him. And when you're talking to a Christian, you're not going to tell him about, you know, God's not an elephant or a cow. No, that's what you tell the Hindu. You have to think who you're talking to. Does it make sense? Hello? All right. So when I'm talking to an atheist, I have to think about what is it that they think about. Wait a minute, if you're an atheist, there's, I guess, nothing to think about. After all, if he falls down an airplane, he just goes, oh, nothing! Whereas at least everybody else says, oh, God. Anyway. By the way, atheists like to make fun of believers. They have their own jokes, right? That's okay, I don't do that. But bottom line if you really think about it, the problem with most of the atheists that I met is because they've been indoctrinated to Christianity, and they call it the insanity of Christianity. And I don't believe them. The guys come along and say, God is one. He's the Father, He's the Son, and He's the Holy Ghost. And you're going, huh? And that equals one? And if you've got a Father that's the same as the Son, and the Son is the same as the Father, and then you stick a ghost in there for good measure, and what's that? Well, no wonder he has a problem with it. No wonder. I can understand. Muslims understand that too. You go, They don't buy it either. And when he says, I believe in evolution. Look, man, I got a Christian out here telling me the earth is 5,000 years old, okay, and telling me that it all came together all at once, and then here's a human being, bang, 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 and it's going, I don't buy it. Because I can look, I can see evolution. Millions of years it took to form these things. This is coming about over a process of time, a long period of time, and different things happen. There's something called evolution. Things have evolved. Although people didn't come out of monkeys. We're not going to buy that. But we do immediately agree with evolution, because Allah said it in the Quran. He said He evolves all of the things, which is what? His name is Al-Bari. What does Al-Bari mean? The evolver, the shaper. Okay, we accept it. We have to. That's part of our feet of Islam. At the same time, He's Al-Khaliq, the creator. He created everything. He's the one who creates, and He's the one who shapes. He's the one who forms. He's the one who brings it all together. So, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, who Allah did y'all in the Muslimin. And then I wound up the program by mentioning something else that Allah said in the Quran, and it sums up all together the things that I've been talking about tonight. And I hope, inshallah, Allah accepts it. And it's the surah, one of the smallest surahs in the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal'asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihati wa tawassaw bil haqq. وَالتَّوَاسُّ بِالصَّبِرُ. That's funny what Allah tells us in the Quran, that He is swearing. Now imagine this. People swear by God. Wallahi, wallahi. You heard this? I swear by God, I swear. Here's Allah swearing. Whoa. And He's swearing by the passage of time, and we don't know what that is, by the way. You sit in the doctor's office, it's for hours, it turns out it was only 20 minutes. Right? But you're having fun with your friends, you think it was 20 minutes, and it was hours. You don't believe it? Ask your wife. Right? You're in deep trouble. So, we don't know what's time. We really don't. We think we do. We try to control it, but we have time zones. And our program is broadcast on 7 o'clock on Eastern, but it's 6 o'clock on Central. Mountain time, it's 5 o'clock. And then we get the Pacific time, it's 4 o'clock p.m. on Sundays. I just stuck a commercial right in the middle of that one, didn't I? And so, I'm saying that time to us is really, we don't know. Even we have a time piece, but it can stop. But Allah swears by time itself, the passage of time, while off. And then the swearing is because of what He says next. For sure, every human being is going to hell. Now, He created heaven and hell. The Prophet said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heaven and hell, then He created the inhabitants for both places. He could have put them there right then. He could have put them there then. Wallahi, He could have done it. No problem. But the ones in the paradise, what would they have said? They would have said, you know what? We earned it. But the ones that went to hell, what would they say? They would say, what did we do? Give us a chance. And so it makes sense that He created a little scenario to let you go through on the day of judgment. You got no excuse, baby. You got the message? Did you hear it? Did somebody tell you? And what did you do with it? Well, like, Oh, that? But I don't know. So they were facing it. And that's what He's saying. Inno insana lafi khusr. Khusr actually means bankrupt. You don't have any money to pay your bills on the Yom HaShoah, the day of payback. Okay? Reconciliation. Can you pay your bill? You can't pay your bill? You know what they used to do to people in England? When they couldn't pay the bill? Go to prison. And a lot of those prisons filled up real fast and people couldn't pay the bills, so they sent them over here to colonize this place. The criminal studs and deadbeats, they sent them over here, and we became wonderful people, and we came and civilized these nice Indian folks. We removed their scalps for them, taught them how to do that, they did it back to us. That's another story, I won't get into that tonight. But then, we only got a couple minutes, so I need to wrap it up. Here we go. Here you go for the accent. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah made it real clear. He says that the human beings are all going to hell except except for those who come to the right iman, the right belief. And what is the right belief in Islam? There is a God, but he's never in his creation. He is not. We know more about what he's not than what he is almost from the Quran. You know the thing? La ilaha illallah. That's that will lie, doesn't it? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All these negatives just come up in the beginning. Because it's some of it's not this, it's not that. There's no power except the power of Allah. No. Lam yalid. Well, lam yalid. He's not the son of anybody. He's not the father of anybody. Get that out of your mind. Well, lam. No. Not like anything in his creation. Doesn't you fool a hoop of one hand? Yes or no? So, he's telling us very clearly that that's the important part, to have the right belief. And then the amin. Amin is sabha. The deeds are of the people of righteousness. Act on what you know. Tawassul, to encourage, to exhort, to get everybody excited about what? Tawassul bil haq, to get the people excited about the haq, the truth of la ilaha illallah. Get them jumping up and down, get them moving, you know what I'm saying? On that subject, let's go for dawah. Everybody ready? Charge up your batteries. Get out here. That's what you got to do it. Get them motivated. Pretend it's an Amway meeting. I was going, what? Family? Okay. Tawassul bis sabr. And encourage and exhort each other to be patient, steadfast, and stick to it. So we're encouraging all of ourselves, all of us, to be steadfast and to be hanging in there for the case of Islam. To be on the haq of Islam, to be on the truth of La ilaha illallah, and to spread this and share this with all the people before it's too late. So that on their judgment, that Allah will forgive us. Because he has right, his right is to be worshipped alone with no partner. But we have right on the law that if we do it, we have the right. Allah don't punish me. Please don't punish me. Because I didn't make partners with you. And an atheist is the closest one in his statement to a Muslim because he said, La ilaha! He just missing a little bit. He just missing illallah. He said there is nothing to worship. There's nothing worthy of my devotion. There isn't anything out there in this creation, anywhere, anytime, any place that needs my worship. And we agree 100%. Except the one that's not in the creation, not a part of what he created, not something you can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, feel, imagine in your mind, but rather the one real God that can't be observed by anything but what? The heart. The heart. And when the heart opens up to this message and accepts it, then the logic kicks in and says, whoa, that works. And that's the real high. That's the highest high that anybody gets. And that's reserved for the Muslim. Because on the day of judgment, he'll be high too, won't he? How about the muazzin with the long neck? Is that high or not? So we're talking about getting high. And the highest high is for the mu'min, the one is shaheed, who died for the sake of Allah, and he's in the highest, highest Jannah. Is it true or false? So he's talking about getting high. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the highest of all, is it? So let's get high, man. I'm saying let's get high on Islam. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, who Allah did ja'ala the muslimin. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for my poor ways and my backward talk. I ask Allah to guide me to do better. And I ask my brothers and sisters to have patience with me while I learn and try to be better. And I ask all of you to pray now for my father and ask Allah to accept his Islam and accept from the other of Yusuf's father who died also today and ask that Allah accept his Islam and accept from all of us and guide all of us to do better. And for those of you whose parents are not Muslim yet, I understand how you feel because I had that same problem with my mother. She never accepted before she died. But don't give up. Never give up. I've seen it happen that the parents make the shahada and then just a few days later they died. I want to share one little quick story with you about that before I end. One sister came to Islam from Hinduism. She was a Hindu. She came to Islam. She prayed for her brother. He was a Hindu. A young man. Owned big business up in New York. Limousine business. Guess what happened? He made shahada. The next day he was killed by a car wreck. Made shahada. The next day he was killed in a car wreck. And you know what? She's happy. but she understands your other friend. If she was still a Hindu, she'd have been out, oh God, like that. And she put everything on the line for her brother, because most of the family didn't know he made Shahada. She fought with her whole family, because they want to burn him up. She said, no, it's not Islam. Brand new Muslim, she's fighting for her brother. She put it all on the line, and she stayed with it, and still they buried him with the Muslims. Alhamdulillah, that's a lot of meaning. So it's up to Allah. Don't ever give up. Be patient, be persevering, and always trust Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, tell me about this being something only you could tell me. He said, call him unto the lost and mustaqim. Put it all into the trust of Allah. Say, la ilaha illallah. And then be steadfast on what you said. May Allah make us both steadfast. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Ya Rabbana majid. Ameen. You can listen to your time tomorrow, broadcasting live, all the way from my living room, here in Falls Church, Virginia. And for this, rebroadcast and others, visit us on the internet at www.islamtomorrow.com. ISLAMTOMOROW.com. We'll be open 24 hours a day, and always plenty of free parking. Give everybody a big salam alaikum. Let them hear you. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.